Hello and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, God is organized. God has structure and he desires that there be order in the world. We see this in his word as he shares the makeup and organization of relationships and how the church should look and live. Commitment, accountability, submission, love, humility, and authority are large qualities that are instrumental in how we function from day to day. Inside the local church are where these qualities are lived out. How we function and live life together at West Hill will communicate much about the God that we say we love and are committed to. How are you functioning? How are you living life at West Hill? Membership is not just a title or a right. It is a major responsibility. Here is Pastor Aaron.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see each of you here. Children are dismissed for Children's Church, and Lisa is teaching that this morning. If children, if you want to make your way to the back, you'll have a great time with her this morning. If you take your Bibles and open with me the book of Hebrews, we finished earlier this year the study through the book of Hebrews, which if you missed that, we have some resources on our website. Feel free to go on and you can go through and listen to each one of those sermons and to hear the teaching there, to walk through that. We're going to look at three passages, and if you have a bulletin, you can grab your bulletin, and inside of that bulletin is an insert. And actually, this week, you have it pretty easy, because on that insert, you have all the answers this week. I failed to give Georgia. I was at Skyview this week, which I'll pull up a picture here in a minute, and let you know what I was doing. But when I sent Georgia this insert, I forgot to send her the one that has all the blanks in it for you to fill out. So this morning, your job either became a little bit easier or a little bit more difficult. Whichever perspective you want to see that, you need to pay attention and focus because you don't have the blanks, or it's easier to pay attention and focus because you're not focused on filling in the blanks. But it's all there, the insert's there, and we're just going to kind of walk through this, these two questions that are before us. But before we get to those questions, I want to show you a picture. This last week, I had the privilege of preaching to the junior high kids down at Skyview Ranch. And so that's a picture, or was a picture. There they are. So I did a selfie. Unfortunately, with that selfie, all you see is... That's really bad, isn't it? I walked away from that like, wow, I know it's bad on Sunday mornings because sometimes I watch the videotape of me just because I want to correct some bad habits that I may get with my mannerisms. But sometimes I can tell the light is not good to my head. And after I took that picture, I'm like, maybe they won't know that's me. But since I said it was a selfie, it kind of gives it away. So that's the group of kids that I had the great privilege of preaching to. And we walked through the book of Hebrews. And it was really a real treat to engage with them. We had chapel each morning and each night. And then on Friday night, we had what's called Mega Chapel, where these were junior hires. And so they combined with juniors and with the pioneers. And so all three of those groups came together. And I preached from Romans 12, 1 and 2 with that group. And just awesome, awesome, awesome. The word of God went forth. And I know that there were probably at least 10 salvations, and there were many, many other decisions this past week. And so praise be to God for his work. And I encourage you as a church people, we need to pray for our young people. I challenge these young people from Romans chapter 12, one to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I said, God wants to use you, and we need young people who are committed to giving their lives to Christ. And so pray for them. Pray for the ministry there at Skyview as they have camp week after week after week. We have senior hires that are going from our church this week that are headed there in this week. And then we have some other campers that are coming in the weeks ahead. I know Ellie's going to Patmos. That's where I went to camp later on in my senior high years as well. I went to Skyview when I was junior age. So camp is a big part of our lives, Lisa's and mine, and many of our children have had the privilege of going to camp. It's instrumental in their walk, and so keep praying for them. But I also want to thank you for those of you who gave for scholarship. That's huge, so that our kids could afford to go to camp. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping to give so that they could go to camp. And our kids have to work pretty hard for scholarship. We just don't give them money. They have to memorize verses. They have to do service projects. They have to share the gospel or invite friends to church. They aren't just given free money. We make them work for it. And part of that is getting disciplines, spiritual disciplines in their life that they have to do. Last week, I missed being with you. Happy Father's Day, a week later. Happy Father's Day to all of you who are fathers. Lisa and I were down at Norton Baptist Church, just down the road here. It's a church that where Lisa and I grew up. They sent us out, and we grew up there. I was 3, Lisa was 4 when we started going there to Norton. And so Pastor Dwight Strickland had been there for 27 years, and he just resigned, and I had shared with their deacon board that I would be glad to come alongside and help and assist in any way. And so they asked me if I would come and facilitate a section of the service last week, and so we were able to honor Pastor Dwight and Pastor Tim, their youth pastor. Both of them are moving on, and so it was a great privilege to honor God through those men and through their faithfulness. And it was a great week. Missed seeing you, missed being here. I know some of you are very kind and gracious in your words. I don't know if you mean it or not, but you said that you miss me, so hopefully you mean it. You may want to take that back after this morning, and when I get done preaching, you may say, I don't know if we like that anymore, but I want to preach to you the word this morning. This is something that's heavy on my heart, something that I've been praying about for weeks, and how to approach this and how to look at this. And it has to do with church membership. If you look at your insert there, there's a question, the two questions that I put there. Is church membership important and in the Bible, and do I need to join a church? There have been several of you who have asked me this question, and this has been a question that has kind of rolled around in my mind for many years. And I have to admit, there was a certain time in my life where I looked at church membership and wondered if it was really that important. Today, I'm going to preach from the Word with full conviction that I truly believe that membership to a local church is important. And we're going to look at why that is. But before we do that, and I did this with my campers each day, before we dig into the Word, we need to ask God to help reveal it to us, right? Because if we just read it, and we try to understand it without the Holy Spirit helping us to understand it, we're not going to be able to grasp it. And so would you pray with me before we dig in and ask God to help us? Lord, thanks for the opportunity to gather and to worship you. Great are you, Lord. There is none like you. Lord, we come and we can breathe because of the breath that you have breathed into us. We are a living soul, a living being created in your image, which is awesome. We thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege of gathering in this place, in this specific location, to lift up our voices, to honor you, to glorify you. And now as we come and dig into your word, we pray that, Lord, that your spirit would impact us, that your spirit would open the eyes of our heart, that we may see you and understand you better and understand your word and that you've richly, blessedly given to us, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and we know that we come to you, we come to the altar, we come in prayer because of what Christ has done for us, because of his shed blood that was poured out. So we come boldly before the throne of grace, asking, Lord, for you to work in us and through us this morning. Lord, I am just a messenger, and so, Lord, I pray, as feeble and frail as I am, that you would speak through me your truth. And Lord, may you be glorified this morning. Thank you again for this opportunity. Bless it and use it for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 13:7, the passages will be up there. There's 3 of them there. Hebrews 13:17, 1 Peter 5:1 through 5, and then Acts 20:28-30. Let me read to you first from Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And then we jump over to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 5. And what I want to do is to read these passages, and then we're going to talk about them a little bit here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says this: "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And then let's flip back a few pages in the book of Acts, Acts 20. Verses 28 through 30. Acts 20, 28 through 30. Paul is speaking to the leaders at the church of Ephesus here. Acts 20, 28 through 30. He says this in verse 28. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." So when we look at church leadership, these are just a few passages. I didn't even jump to the passage that maybe you've heard before. "Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves," in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 10 that it speaks about. Which is true, which is good. "Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves." It's a rich passage. But I want to approach this from a little bit different angle this morning. When we look at church membership, and when we look at, especially when we look at that Hebrews passage, Hebrews 13, and it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." If you aren't committed to a church, if you have not joined a church, Then here's my question: who are your leaders, and who are you submitting to? The picture is kind of like this. How many of you today would be willing to stand and to raise your hand and say, it's okay if a guy and a girl love each other, that they can live together before they're married? How many of you would be willing to raise your hand and say, well, that's okay? I don't think very many of us would be willing to do that, nor should we, right? Because that's not what we see in Scripture. Bible doesn't tell us that that's okay. Bible doesn't say, hey, you as a man and a woman, listen, if you just have love, everything's going to be okay. That doesn't make everything all right, all right? There is something that's called commitment. There's something that says you are going to make that step that says, I do. A young man leaves his father and his mother to cleave to his wife. It doesn't say to cleave to his girlfriend, to cleave to the love partner. All right? It doesn't say that. And cleave to the woman that he takes and they become one. This is, unfortunately, and this is where I may step on some toes, and it's not because I am mean or I don't like you or I'm picking on you. I'm not picking on anybody, so maybe I'll just look at the back. How's that? I won't look at anybody. Because I have a feeling a few of you are going to feel like I'm stepping on your toes, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. Like I said, I've been praying about this for weeks, and it's because I love you and because I care for you and because God has told me to preach the whole counsel of God. Not half of it, not 90% of it, but the whole counsel. And I think in some ways, in our American culture today that we live in, we've mistaken what it means to be committed to a local church. I think some of you come in to this church, and if you're listening online, maybe you walk into your church, or maybe you don't even walk into a church anymore. You just listen to a sermon on the TV, or maybe you just listen to Christian radio. Some of you walk into a church and you use it. You're a user. You're a leech because all you do is you consume. You've grasped on. You say, I need fed. And I expect a good sermon. Or I expect there to be hot coffee when I walk in. Or I expect there to be a good children's program at that church. That's not what God did. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he explains to them this idea and concept of church. And as he's writing, and as Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians, he talks about this mystery. It's a mystery that the Old Testament prophets, they didn't understand. And it even says that even the angels, the heavenly powers, couldn't see, they couldn't understand what this mystery was. And as Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians, he says that this mystery is the church. This church, the church, the uppercase C, and I've put that in your notes, the church, uppercase C, and the lowercase C, the church. Two different things, making up one, okay? The uppercase C is everybody who places their faith in Jesus Christ. So it's no longer for the Jews. It's no longer for those who God has chosen. Remember Old Testament, as we read through it, God chooses Israel, all right, and as his chosen nation, he sets them apart, distinct, separated from all the other nations. God chooses Israel and says, I want you to live according to my law, according to my rules. And if you live my way, the way that I'm telling you, I will bless you. All the other nations, as they're watching this Israel-God interaction, some of them fight against Israel, right? Others choose to join, like Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile, but she saw what God was doing in this nation, and she chose to believe in the God of Israel. And while there was a few Gentiles that we read of in the Old Testament scriptures that followed Christ, God's blessing in his hand, his message of salvation, was extended to those really of Israel. We come to a point in time where Christ comes. Christ came, he suffered, he died on behalf of the sins of all people. 1 John 2:2 tells us, not only for my sin and your sin, but for the sins of the world. And when we think of that and the importance of that, that takes this choosing of Israel and now opens the floodgates to all peoples of all generations, of all ethnicities, from all the nations of the world. And so now it's not just Israel and Jews, now it's Gentiles included, all the nations that are united, that come together through what? The cross. It's because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that we can have a relationship with God. And in that, God then gives those who believe the Spirit. The Spirit of God now indwells in everyone who will place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so anyone who places their faith and trust in Christ after the cross makes up what is called this mystery, the church. The uppercase C, the big church. We make up the church. And the head of that church is Christ. Christ is our head. And so as Paul is writing that book in Ephesians, but also we read in Corinthians where he's trying to help the early church to understand, as you're walking, Christ is the head, but you have many members. There's many different parts because this is a body. You're a body, the body of Christ. Now, when we think of the body of Christ, it's kind of weird because in a way you have this upper letter C, uppercase letter C, church, that is universal around the globe. There are people today who are celebrating and worshiping God as we are today in China and in Brazil and across the globe, South America, even in California, there are people who believe and trust in Christ. I'm just teasing. Listen, we're no better here in Ohio, okay? But there are believers out there. I believe that. That's the uppercase C. Christ is the head of that church. How do you submit to the leaders of that church? Who is the leader of that church? It's Christ. So how do you submit to him? Well, you obey him, right? Here's what I see as we look at these letters. As Paul is writing in Ephesians, as the writer here in Hebrews tells us, as we see in Peter, as we see really throughout the whole New Testament, examples of the qualifications of the lowercase c church. That there is a local body of believers, a group of believers that are locally positioned who gather together, because you can't gather everybody from across the globe at one place. One day that will happen. And you know what that will be like? Man, that'll be awesome. Everybody from all generations are going to gather together in the midst of our Savior Jesus Christ, and there will be a day of rejoicing like never before. Gives me goosebumps to think about. That would be awesome. But until then, God's given us the lowercase c, a local church that gathers together, who appoints leaders. Leaders that are to shepherd and oversee the flock. And so I've put this question, who are you to obey and submit to? If you just want to live under the uppercase c, who do you obey and submit to? There's a lowercase c. As Paul writes over and over again, he makes it very clear what the qualifications are for the leader and also for those who are underneath that leadership to submit and to obey. That doesn't mean you agree with everything, but that means that you are committed to, which we're going to look at here in a minute. Here's my question. If there's no lowercase c, if church membership is not important, then who do I give an account for? Okay, if I'm standing before God one day, which I believe I will stand and give an account for how I lived my life, I also believe that I'm going to stand and give an account for my wife and how I led my wife and how I led my children. I also believe that I will stand and give an account for how I have led, because of the position that God's given me, how I have led the church, lowercase c. Are you part of that church? What makes you part of that church? You say, well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, so I'm part of the church. Yes, you are. Uppercase C. But have you committed to the lowercase c? Well, I don't want to do that. And then let me hear, I hear you. Some of you have had bad experiences. Some of you have had awful experiences with people or with leadership. You've had reasons for why you don't want to join the lowercase c. And I get it. But that doesn't make it right. All right? Just because I had a bad experience at the gas station doesn't mean I'm not going to go to the gas station anymore. All right? Got to get gas. We must be willing to come underneath the authority that God has set up. Because think about this. I didn't set this up. I didn't set this church up. Who do you think set this up? God set this up. You all know it. Think about that. Here was Israel, God's chosen people. Instead, Christ came, and now he's offered salvation to all people. So God created a living organism, the church. God did that. And when Christ returns, he's going to call us home. And the church age, I believe, the church age will be finished at that point. And then he's going to fulfill his promises that he had, that he gave to Israel, that some of them haven't been fulfilled yet. One of them being Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, will rule on the throne of David. But we live in a church age. That means that we need to submit ourselves underneath what God has created. We are part of that. So as a leader, I give an account for you who have said, I am a church member. Let's look at the next one that I have. Leaders care for specific people. I want to give you an illustration, and this has never happened to me, thankfully, nor do I hope it ever does. But let me give you an illustration. Let's say that on one day, we have a person, a family, who has been faithful here but has never joined the church. And on that day, they have a family member who passes away. On that very same day, at the very same time, the very same circumstances have happened where a member of our church has had somebody who passes away. Now, me as the leader, I must choose, right? Because I can't cut myself in half as much as I want to be in two places at once. And as much as I can try to minister to one later, I can't be in that place of where I need to be at that moment. So as a leader, how do I choose between who I go to serve and who I go to be with and minister to? I ask you, who do I choose? The member or the non-member? Well, who do I give an account to? Who do I give an account for? The people who have said, this is our body. This is who we commit to. We're committing to fellowship. We're committing to growing. We're committed to ministering. We're committed to bonding together for the gospel's sake of the world so that ultimately I believe God's given us the body to encourage one another to grow in our understanding and our love for God, but also so that the world may see the light that shines in us. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? The world will know me because of your love, because of your love for one another. So in that day, if that scenario ever happens, I believe that I am called to choose the family who says, we have made West Hill our church, and we are members of that. That doesn't make them any more important than this other family. It's just the fact that they have made a commitment. Again, I pray and hope that that scenario never happens. But I give it as an illustration to say there is something to church membership. Because we as leaders, the leaders of this church, God has called us to care for you. And if I can be frank, there we have a list. And in that list that we have of you, if you start attending here more than twice, we put your name on a list and we begin to pray for you. And we have a list of both members and non-members, and right now they're together, which is great. I think that's a great thing. But again, I want to encourage you, as we as leaders care for you, that doesn't mean that we're not going to care for you if you don't join the church. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, how can the leaders of the church really care for me if I'm not committed to them? The next point there on your notes is church discipline, which I think this is pretty important. I don't know that it's exercised a whole lot today. We have had to do this in one case. I'm thankful we don't have to do it a whole lot. Am I afraid to do it? No, because I believe it's biblical. Do I want to do it? No. The purpose of church discipline is always restoration. It's to help that person, that brother, that sister in Christ, to be restored in their fellowship with God and the fellowship of other believers. That's the goal. It's not for them just to say, well, I was wrong. It's for them to repent, to turn from their sin, and to be restored in the fellowship of the saints and restored in their walk with Christ. So my question is, if in church discipline, you at the final ending, if they're unwilling to repent, you cast them out as Gentiles, as those who are unbelievers. How can you cast them out if they're never in? Okay, let's for example, if you're not a member and you're joining here, all right, and you have a sin issue, first of all, how can I come and approach you because you haven't submitted to the authority underneath you? But also, too, how do I throw you out? Hey, you're no longer allowed to attend here anymore. Well, you're not a member, so. See, there's something to this act where we are willing to take the step, as so many couples have done on this stage, where they come forward and they say, yes, I do, to one another. And it has nothing to do with how good or how perfect one another will be. It's the fact that they are committed and they love each other and that God has brought them together. And if God has brought you to West Hill, He has brought you with gifts and abilities, and he has brought you in the desire to use those gifts and abilities to be part of the body so that we can effectively share the gospel. And if you're unwilling to commit, then there's a part of that body that is not there. We have a mentality of consumerism today. And just ask yourself, when was the last time you walked into the church and you said, you know what, I can't wait to give something to somebody today. I can't wait to see somebody and let them know that, man, I've been praying for you all week. How are you doing? Instead, a lot of times we'll walk into church and we say, okay, I'm here. Feed me. Which is okay. There's times of that. There's times as sheep, you got to eat. And I've always said, I want to grow green grass. I want to grow healthy grass so that you as sheep, you can eat and you can be full. And as you go throughout your week, you're not just eating once a week, but you're eating in your time with the Lord. You're praying. You're spending time with him. You're fellowshipping with each other more than just one day. But listen, how can we expect the church to be effective if we just have consumers and leeches? We can't do it. That's what I believe, one of the cool things of West Hill. I don't think we have a lot of leeches. I think we have a lot of people who are willing to serve. But the reality is, look around, we continue to grow. And as we grow, that means we need to continue to serve and have more people who are willing to step into the gap and to serve. It can't be 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Can't be that way. That's not scriptural. It's not biblical. And so we see this discipline, it's for the restoration, it's for the building up of the body and of the church and the individuals. In Matthew 18, we read about that. 1 Corinthians 5, we see Paul, he gives an illustration of church discipline being played out. And so it's not just some hypothetical, well, if this ever happens. Paul writes and says, here's an example. This is what has to stop in this church. You've got to stop acting this way. And if you don't, you're out. And it's not because because this is some country club with all of its prestige and wealth and greatness. Listen, look around you. God has chosen the weak. He's chosen the simple things to humble the strong. I'm not anything special. I'm a balding man. But what it is this, in your last point. It's a local covenant community of faith. It's a local group of people who bring a covenant around saying this is what we believe to be the essentials of our walk with God. That's why we have a constitution. That's why we have bylaws, because these beliefs are what we hold to be essential. And the most important one for us here at West Hill, I believe, is ultimately that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and only through the blood of Christ can we be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It takes commitment. Because as sheep, sometimes sheep stink. I'm not saying any of you stink. Maybe it's just me because I'm sweating so much today. But if we could be real and transparent here, sometimes you stink, not physically. I'm saying sometimes you're selfish. Sometimes you're prideful. Sometimes you want to do what you want to do. And as sheep and as shepherds, sometimes the shepherds, as they see a sheep or a couple of sheep start wandering off, they have to use their hook, or sometimes they pick up a rock and they throw it at their sheep and it hits them in the head and they're like, and they come back. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need the truth of God's word, not our preferences, Again, this has been a gracious church, and we've grown a lot. I believe this church used to focus on so many externals that they lost sight of what was the heart of the gospel. We were so focused on making sure that our appearance was good that we lost sight of the heart. And that's why I can wear what I wear today, a polo shirt, a button down. And I know some of you don't like that, and that's okay. That's your preference. Because I want you to show me in the Bible where it says that a pastor has to wear a tie. No, what does it say about a pastor? Man, he better be a one-woman man. A man who loves his wife, who's committed to her. A man who loves the Lord, who is committed, who is above reproach. See, all those quality characteristics that are listed about an elder, about a pastor, about a leader, have very little to do with the outward appearance. But sometimes it's easier to judge a person based upon their outward. At least we think. But how many times have you been wrong when you look at a person and you make a judgment based upon their outward, and then you get to know them and you're like, whoa, I was totally wrong. That person is so cool. They love the Lord so much. They're so radical. And so whether I wear jeans or whether Andrew brings a huge drum thing that was so big that we can't see the screen, or you know, we have a violin or a harp over here, or an organ or not an organ or a piano, or it means nothing when it compares to our heart. Do you get my drift? This is a willingness to commit to a group of people that says, you know what, there's going to be battles, and this is a battle. The end of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes all through that book, and then he gets to the end and he says, listen, finally, I want you to know, brothers, sisters, put on the whole armor of God, because it's a battle out there. And let your faith be your shield, because you have to have faith. And when you have faith, you can extinguish the fiery darts of Satan. And I want you to go, and Paul says, I want you to go, and you go on the offense. And when you go on the offense, your sword is the word of God. This is the truth, and don't ever lay it down. And as we gather together as a local church, we say, this is our sword, and we're going to go do battle. Because the world around us is encroaching, and it's trying to get in, it's trying to tell us how to do church and what church looks like. No, God's already told us what church looks like. He has told us what the local, the lower letter C, what it looks like, and it's in here. It's a group of people who come underneath the leadership of appointed people, godly people, people who love God with all their heart, not perfect people. Remember, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, follow my disciples. He said, follow me. And so as we submit underneath the leadership, we help them and we encourage them. We try to strengthen them in their walk with the Lord as they help and try to strengthen one another. And it's submitting to that authority, but it's also coming along and loving one another, caring for one another, knowing that none of us are perfect, none of us are right, and sometimes we're going to get upset. Sometimes we're going to have different perspectives. Sometimes we're going to see things differently, and that's okay. That's okay if it's not the core, the most critical issues. Because when we join together and we commit, we're willing to say, we're going to stick this through, thick or thin. Now, again, why do people, going back to our first illustration, why do couples, girls and a guy, why will a girl and a guy just live together? Their purpose is that we've got to try this out. See if it's a fit. Well, how long do you try it out? Until it stops feeling good, or until it feels really, really, really good? I don't know what the answer is there, because really there is no answer. It doesn't work that way. The same is with church membership. I think there's a time where you go and you try the church and say, hey, this is what we believe. Here's your checklist. These are the things that we believe. You know what? They're people who love the Lord. They're committed to the Bible and to the Word of God. And there are people who will shepherd me, who will guide me, who will encourage me, who won't just feed me a bunch of fluff, all the good stuff, but they'll also be willing to come into my life and pour into my life and say, you know what? You're not living the way God and desires, but I want to help you do that. what are the qualifications that need to be met in order for you to join a church? Kind of like for me, what qualifications did I need in a wife that I wanted in a wife that were non-negotiable? When I made up that list, I didn't have to have red hair. I love a redhead. She's great, man. Fiery, But I wanted, in that, I wanted somebody who was willing to love me and care for me, and somebody who wasn't just going to go along and be a yes wife. Somebody who would help me and strengthen me and encourage me. What is it for you in the church? Because I believe with all my heart that God doesn't just want people to be consumers of a local church. He wants them to be committed. And there's nothing like commitment saying, yes, I am willing to take the step and to say, I'm part of this church. Your name is on the roll. Not so that we can call you up and say, hey, we haven't seen your offering lately. Can you make sure you get that in the mail? As long as I've ever been here and as long as I ever will be, we will not do that, ever. Because I believe that's between you and the Lord. Now, if you are a member and you don't give regularly, I think between you and the Lord, you need to pray about that. It's not about a country club. It's not this idea that we need to say, well, in order to get all the rights and privileges, we have to join. It's because I believe God desires for us to take that step of obedience and commitment. And I believe it's essential. And I would say that today it may be more important than it ever has been in our culture. In a culture that doesn't want to commit. In a culture that says, I just want to go and consume or I just want to try it out. We live in a day that says, you know what? I'm not sure I want to commit. Here's three questions for you to ponder and think about. Do you believe, do you believe that God has given you the gift of the local church? No matter how long you've been part of a church, do you understand that it's a gift? To have a local church of believers who trust in Christ, who are like-minded. I think about the hundreds of thousands of people across the globe who would do anything to have what we have here. To have the freedom, to have the ability to fellowship and get together and to study the Word, who would have a group of people who we know we're not alone and we're by ourselves, but to have somebody who is caring for them and loving on them, praying for them. We have it really good. Do you believe that God's given you the gift of the church? I hope so. Number two, are you a committed and active member? Notice I just didn't say, are you a church member? Because we don't want, I don't want another name on the roll. I don't want another name that okay, now we move from 120 members to 145. We were just talking this morning, Vince and I and Mike in the back. And, you know, ultimately it's not a list of names that makes you a member. It's are you committed and are you active? Now that may look different for you. Today is Thelma Bean's birthday. And I think she's like 97, 98 years old. And Thelma Bean is a charter member of this church. And she's not here today, but Thelma Bean's done a lot for the kingdom of God. In this season of her life, she can't be as active in running the ministries. I can't put Thelma in the nursery and say, hey, Thelma, we need somebody in the nursery today. Can you hold these babies? She would probably love that. She'd love to see those kids and to be with them, but she can't do that. I can't tell her, hey, our junior high girls really need a teacher. Thelma Bean's going to do that? So when I say commitment is different for each stage of life where you're at. But don't excuse it, okay? Don't be quick to say, well, I'm not qualified to do that or I can't do that. You need to pray about that. Thelma Bean, I know she is a prayer warrior. And I know that Thelma would love to be here. She would desire to be here more, but she isn't able to. If you're able to be here and you're committed to be here and you're committed to being involved in the different ministries that are going on at West Hill, be an active part of that church, that our church? Are you committed and active member? And maybe you're a member, but maybe you haven't been as committed and active as you need to be. And if you want to be more active, that's where we are as leaders. We want to help you to engage with the gifts that God's given you so that you can use those, not only for your well-being, but to build up the body, to grow the body. The third question is this: do you believe in the authority and submit to the leaders at West Hill? This is a tricky question for me to put here. I almost didn't put it, and then I thought, well, I'll put it anyway, just because I like to ruffle some people's feathers, okay? No, not really. Ultimately, if you can't come underneath the authority of the leadership here, you need to find a place where you can do that. And that doesn't mean that we're the perfect church for every person. That's the great part of where we live in America today and the uniqueness that there are multiple churches around us here. But you need to find one. You need to find one where you can believe in the authority that they hold and that you would be willing to submit underneath because you believe in those people to be godly people who are God-fearing, who are helping the church to grow and to unite and to move forward in the gospel calling. And if you can't do that here, find someplace. Find someplace to do that. And if that's here, be committed to it because I believe it's scriptural. Whew. Ten sermons in 6 days. My heart, I want you to know, God's called me to preach, and I love preaching, and I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad that you're here, and I don't want you to stop coming just because maybe you don't agree, but I want to challenge you to look at the Word of God and to look at this area of church membership. In your bulletin, if you would grab it there, and Jay's going to come and pray for us here in just a moment. But in your bulletin is this, Marissa talked about it, this tear-off tab. All right, and in this tear-off tab, it says, my next step today. And let me tell you, one of the things that the older I get, the more I realize in my own life, I can hear a good message, I can hear the Word of God preached and taught, but unless I take action, it doesn't mean anything. It's just knowledge. We put these in here for a purpose and for a reason to help you realize you need to make a commitment. You need to take action steps. And maybe it's not one of these that we list here from week to week. If God's working in your heart and convicting you, we want to pray for you. We believe as leadership, we need to pray and pray effectively so that we know you. Be willing to list something and say, you know what? I need help. I want to commit to doing this. But I've given you two specific for today. Number one, it's the second one down. I'm interested in church membership and joining West Hill. If that's you, I want to get a hold of you. And I've talked with some of you in the days ahead. Some of you are like, Pastor, I've told you I'm ready to join. Well, I've been waiting for today, okay? And so we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to get together with you soon. But if that's you, would you check that and make sure your name's on the other side? All right, the third one down is this. I'm committing today to honor God and serve Him faithfully through the ministries at West Hill. Maybe you're already a church member. I hope and pray in some way that you look at it and say, Lord, I want to do more. What does that look like? Because the truth is, as we look at life today, do we need to help our young people and our children grow up in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we need to do that? Those who are inside of the church, do we need to help one another to grow up and to learn how to live out the Word of God? Yes or no? Do we need to do that? Yes. You are part of that. Not just me, not just our leaders. You are part of that. The other question with that do you believe that there is a lost and dying world outside of these walls that needs to hear the hope of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Do you? Do you believe that there's a whole bunch of people that you walk with and talk to and yet you see, you work with, you go to school with, people maybe even in your own family, people that if they were to die today, they would go to hell because they have not trusted Christ as their Savior? God has created and put together the church, and through the church, He wants to use the church to reach the lost. I didn't set it up that way. God did. And I believe He is infinitely wise. He is sovereign, and He desires to use us. And so I want you to think and ask yourself, what's my role in that? God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to grow? Would you pray with me? Lord, thanks for the opportunity of being here in your house today. Thanks for the challenge from your word of being able to look and to see the examples of the local church and to know that it's not something that we just made up today. It's something that is in your word and it's truth, and we need to be willing to commit to and to be a part of and to function as the body, as Christ as our head, and as we live out the gifts and the talents and to use the abilities you've given us for your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray for those that need to join West Hill, that they would do that. Not because I said so, but because they've been convicted by the Spirit. And I pray for those of us who are members, who are committed to West Hill, that we will continue to cling to Christ and that we will encourage one another as we build one another up, as we come and worship together and learn and grow together, that again, that your light would shine through us and the world would see your love in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.